Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the I Want More Action podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Action, here with my co-host, Frankie Cranks.
What's going on, guys?
And what movie are we reviewing today, Frank?
Well, today, Chris, we're doing Ip Man Kung Fu Master. And Ip Man Kung Fu Master takes place during his time as a police captain in Fu Xuan. Ip Man is targeted by a vengeful gangster just as the Japanese army invades the region.
Gangster? What?
Yeah.
That's not what happens in the movie, ladies and gentlemen.
A vengeful gangster, apparently. He takes no revenge at all.
He's like the head of the commerce department or something.
Well, the first guy he meets in the beginning who's playing chess or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He's supposed to be, I guess, the vengeful gangster. No, he doesn't. Not very far at all to the movie.
So this came out in 2019, directed by Liming Lee, and it stars Yu Hong To and Michael Wong. Michael Wong makes it about 8 minutes into the movie, so
yeah.
Not far. What do you think of Ip Man Kung Fu Master?
Overall, it feels like a mediocre kung fu movie. It could have been more, but I think the editing and the cinematography kind of really hold this movie back. I mean, we'll get into that much more when we go into talk about the fight scenes in the second half of the podcast. But yeah, I think it did. You know, there's some great martial arts, you know, fighting in this movie, but I feel like the editing and cinematography take away a lot from it and leaves a lot to be desired. The movie itself isn't that terrible in terms of story and plot. It's better than Ip Man Crisis Time that we had done previously. But I mean, this movie leaves a lot to be desired, and the main guy who plays Ip Man kind of just feels like a Donnie Yen knockoff, or he's trying to be a Donnie Yen impersonator or something. Like, he does an okay job as Ip Man, but it feels like he's trying to be more of Donnie Yen than Ip Man in this movie. So
I definitely agree. I think the main star is basically doing his best Donnie Yen version of Ip Man impression.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
He's not really horrible at it, but it's not what I want to see in a different series. I'd rather see a different interpretation of Ip Man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this movie does take, again, a lot of liberties with the Ip Man character, yeah. You know, the historical figure. Also, with the Ip Man movies themselves, it feels like this movie is like a combination of all the Ip Man films put together. It kind of goes through all the different
incarnations as fast as possible,
which goes into the editing problems the movie has.
And the pacing, the movie has a very big pacing problem.
Yeah.
They introduce plot points and characters and just rush through who they are, or either kill them, or don't show them a lot, or
just move past them.
There's a lot of characters at the end of this movie who have no conclusion to their storyline.
Yeah, they just kind of like, either they just kill them right off, or they just move past them, really. Yeah.
Like the girl that he ends up taking in from the Axe Gang. Has no conclusion to a storyline.
Yeah, they basically just forget about her at the end.
Yeah, they do. They just, like she just... There's a scene where his uncle has something happen to him, and that's the last time you see her.
Yes.
When she's watching the uncle fight the guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't see her again.
Pretty much. But yeah.
Then they introduce like this black mask superhero concept for about two scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just so much being thrown in this movie.
And they rush through it. So the whole point is this black mask is supposed to be fighting against the imposing Japanese force in China.
But the bad guys know it's Ip Man.
All the bad guys know it's Ip Man, first of all. And they don't show you him actually doing any kind of crime fighting.
No, that's nothing that aggravated me.
Yes, they just kind of rush past. It's like you see scenes of like newspapers and like people talking about what he's doing, but you never actually see him doing anything. Which, then why even introduce the character?
He fights one time when that girl goes to assassinate the Japanese general. He saves her. And that's the only time he fights. You see him fight.
Mm-hmm.
With the black mask on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like really bad.
It does look really bad. It looks kind of goofy on him a little bit too. Like, yeah. You could totally tell it's him. He's not fooling anybody.
There's no doubt that he's in the mask.
There's no doubt that this is Ip Man.
Because the scene after that, like the bad guy meets with Ip Man and gives him like all these little hints that he knows he's the black mask guy.
Yeah, and Ip Man literally just looks at him right in his face and he's like, "Yeah, I'll basically be there to fight your guy."
That's exactly what he says.
but
he's like, "It'd be bad if the black mask shows up." He's like, "Well, I'm gonna show up."
Yeah. Well, I'll be there. Maybe I'll have a black mask on or not.
Or like, maybe I won't.
Yeah, maybe I won't. Yeah. No. And again, they try to have like two or three different movies into one movie here, and it just feels rushed. It feels kind of all over the place.
Surprised they didn't just kill Ip Man at the end to like finish the storyline.
Oh, yeah, right, just finish the whole storyline to it. Yeah, just get it come to a conclusion. No. Yeah. It also ends really strange and weak too. With it obviously trying to build on the sequel, but it's just like why are you going that direction with it? You could have did something else completely different. So made it kind of like, leading to another film. But the way they did it, it feels like they have a superhero movie or something. It's just weird. Again, it's weird. This movie doesn't really kind of know what it wants to be, like, during it.
There's also, let me ask you this. Why is proper editing so important for fight scenes?
Just to see what's going on. Like, especially in this movie, like, it's just every time, it feels like they cut away in the middle of, like, punches and kicks. In the middle of, like, fight scene, it cuts away to other scenes. It cuts away to other bad guys who are also in the area of fighting, and like just them whatever they're doing. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I want to see the fight scene take place. You know, you can cut in, you can punch in for like close ups, and you can like, you know, edit around like, you know, exaggerated like moves like kicks and like sweeps and things like that. But you have to be showing like an entire fight happen. When you keep cutting around the fight scene and to other scenes, and even cutting around the people fighting, like whether it's behind them, in front of them, on the side of them, on top of them, like just showing the whole thing in one, you know, in one scene, like a one completed set piece, I guess I can say, without cutting to something else, without finishing. It's like not finishing a thought, right? Yeah. It's like show me the whole thing and then cut to something else, or then show me something else. Otherwise, I feel nauseous watching it. I feel like motion sickness watching this movie.
Not like this movie shows like 5 minutes of a fight and then cuts to something and cuts back. Like literally shows like 10 seconds. They cut to like a bunch of guys playing chess for like a minute, and then they go back for another 15-20 seconds of fighting.
And even the shots themselves, like I think like when he's fighting one guy, it cuts like 5 or 6 different times. Which should have been like 2 or 3 cuts. It's like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then also it cuts to weird angles where like it's cutting off half the person's body when you don't even see who he's punching or what he's doing, and it's a shame too because you can tell that the people in the stunt team and the main character know how to fight. They definitely do. Like they're trained, and it could have been awesome if they just would have pulled the camera back, you know, calmed down the editing a bit, and just showed us the fight. I feel like this is just like a thing where the editor and maybe the director got too excited. They got like a little bit overzealous with the editing, and they just thought maybe it looked cool. But it's like maybe they watched the fight scenes too many times. They felt like they were boring, but it weren't boring. It's just that you watched them too many times that you thought they needed more cutting it and more, you know, kineticness to it, and it didn't. You had to like slow things down a bit just so I can see what, as a viewer, what's going on.
A lot of American movies, maybe not the past 5-6 years since, like, you know, American movies have gotten a lot better with fight scenes. Used to have the same problem with editing. Mm-hmm. Just cut.
Yep, exactly. All over. Yep.
The only thing, like, this movie does do good, even though it cuts a lot, it doesn't have shaky cam and too many close cuts.
Yes.
So it's cutting a lot, but you're not, like, in people's faces where you can't see what's going on.
No, you can see.
The camera's pulled back but it is edited a lot, but the camera's pulled back.
Yes, it is pulled back. Which is a shame because, again, with better editing, you could have had some really great fight scenes here. You know?
Like, the fight scenes, you can tell they're good. You just can't. Your brain can't absorb the full fight scene.
It can't keep up with the editing. It can't keep up with the editing. It's happening too quick for you to really to actually take in, like you said, what's going on, and you're left almost like confused, and like you're left wanting more at the end.
So we're gonna take a quick 10-second break, and then when we get back, we're gonna leave you a message from our sponsor real quick. And when we get back, we're gonna rate all the fight scenes and other action scenes in this movie. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's do fights first, Frank.
So, here's a problem. I was going back and forth between a 2 out of 5 and a 3 out of 5. I ended up giving a 3 out of 5 only because I do feel like the fighting was there, but the editing wasn't. But I don't want to like take that against the actors themselves. If that makes any sense. Like, again, we don't really talk about editing or cinematography in our podcast. We don't really rate that aspect of it, but that's really what's at fault here. It's not the fighting itself. It's the editing and the cinematography. So I don't want to take that away from all the hard work that these guys put into it. So, so I gave it a 3 and not a 2. But that's just a small difference because I could see other people giving it a 2 just because, it's hard to enjoy it. It really, you know, the bad editing does make it hard to enjoy. It does.
I also gave it a 3. I thought that the fight scenes around the bad edits that went in and out, like, you know, showing other stuff, were excellent.
Yeah.
They were really good.
Yep.
So everything I did see, I thought deserved a 3.
Yes.
But like you said, it really wasn't too bad of a cinematography problem. The cinematography was okay. But there's definitely a huge pacing and editing problem in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these fights could have got a 4 or a 5 if I could see everything that's going on in one scene.
Absolutely.
Like, these fights are really good. Mm-hmm. They're really good. The fight scenes themselves hold up to the real Ip Man series, the four Ip Man movies. You just, they're not, the Wilson Yip, who does the Ip Man movies, knows how to edit a fight scene.
Yep, exactly.
You just watch the fight scene unfold in front of you, and it doesn't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, unfortunately, doesn't do that, and it holds it back a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Stunts, I gave a 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. As usual, you know, Asian stunt teams go, and they really go all, even though the editing is piss poor in stunt spots, what you do see and what you see in the background and what you know, like, your brain is picking up happening around the editing, mm-hmm. these guys are beating the crap out of each other.
Yes.
Yeah. And the stunts definitely straight up deserve a 4 out of 5 in this movie.
Yeah, I gave it a 4 out of 5. The reason why I gave it a 4 out of 5, the stunts, is because except for the last 2 fights, every fight is like a group on one fight, yes. or like a group on two fights,
which
like
really hard to choreograph.
Really hard to choreograph, and there's a lot of stunts going on left and right with all these dudes getting thrown to one another. And again, that's typical Hong Kong, you know, kung fu movie, but that's really hard to do, and that's not even in like most martial art films, you don't see that many group fights happening in a film.
This is like 20 on 1, 15 on 1.
Yes, and there's like 3-4 scenes of this happening, yes. too. So there's a lot going on. That's a lot more stunts in your average martial arts film. And that's saying kind of a lot, because almost every martial arts film has a ton of stunts in them. So yeah, this one definitely gets a 4 out of 5 for me.
And that's also why I said, like, this movie could have got a 4 or 5 in fights, because it's so original in the way they set these fights up in the first place.
Mm-hmm,
the first fight's like 60 on 1.
Yes, literally it's like 60.
It literally is.
All in a building together fighting this guy, like fighting one dude.
Then there's an axe fight where it's like another 20 on 1 in his house, mm-hmm. and then there's another axe fight with a what is it, the stick?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like another 25 on 2.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it literally, there's so many stunts where and it's like stunts left and right, because people, guys are getting knocked into other guys, like flipping over one another, getting slammed around. It's just great. And again, if the editing, which is better, this would have been like a 4 out of 5, you know. Yeah. But and Stunts got a 4 out of 5 just because that's the one thing that they actually do kind of edit well. It's that, like, when you see people get thrown to other guys and guys get thrown around, you actually do see that stuff. Thank God, at least that you get out of it.
Which is like the bread and butter of Hong Kong action
mm-hmm.
flicks.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shootout, so I gave it an NA.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is. What do you give for special effects?
I mean, special effects. I mean, okay. So here's the thing. I gave it a 3 out of 4 only because not because anything special, but just because, like, there's a lot of weapon fights in this, and like that just looks really real, like people getting hit around, being knocked around, like them getting hit, and like the practical effects that are around them look real enough to me. And maybe it's just the way, again, maybe it's the way they shot it, whatever. It just looks. It looks legit. It looks real. The impacts look real. Everything looks more real. You know, like, there's some wire work, but, like, for the most part, everything is, like, real in this. Like, I liked how nothing looked fake. And so for that, like, I have to give at least a 3 out of 5 for the special effects that are there. But it's just typical martial art movie special effects. It's not, like, CGI or anything like that.
I also gave it a 3 out of 5 because of all the practical effects that they use for the fight scenes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm also, I told you once before, I'm a huge sucker for fights in the pouring rain and when there's water on the ground and that, mm-hmm. that stuff gets kicked up and everything.
Yep.
And there's, like, I think there's 2 fights in that set up in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. It's really cool. Especially the pouring rain fight when the other guy has the black mask on.
Yes, the other older brother, uncle guy.
Yeah, the drunken uncle guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Whether the rain was CGI or they really were just pouring rain on them, I can't tell, and that makes for good special effects.
Yeah, exactly. It adds to the movie.
There's no chase scene in the whole movie. So this wasn't a lot to actually score in this one. This is like a straight up real kung fu flick.
Yes, this is a traditional martial arts movie. Which, obviously, it's a bad thing, but...
What do you do for an overall?
I mean, overall, I gave it a 3 out of 5 only because this was better than our previous movie we reviewed, It Man Crisis Time.
Yeah.
And so, if you
that also got a 3 out of 5, though, too.
That's why I had to...
The last half.
Exactly, but that's why I had to give this a 3 out of 5 as well, because this definitely was... I enjoyed this overall. I enjoyed this better than It Man Crisis Time. Even though It Man Crisis Time, the second half, had better fight scenes in it, this was an overall better film that I enjoyed, so it has to at least get a 3 out of 5.
I also gave it a 3 out of 5. I feel like what is there is very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
If you could deal with the editing, you might actually like it more than Me and Frank did.
Yes. If it doesn't bother you as much. But I don't know. I'd be hard-pressed to find someone that it doesn't,
me too.
Though. Because
especially martial arts fans. Like,
It borderline is distracting. It distracts you from it, and that's not a good thing.
I do recommend it, though. I think... I don't recommend it for everyone. I recommend it for fans of the Ip Man franchise, and I recommend it for fans of like old school kung fu movies.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, there's a lot better martial arts movies that have better editing that you can go watch if you haven't
seen. Better. Yes, better editing, better overall like fight scenes in general, like that you can go see. But like, but you, if you are a martial arts fan, definitely check it out though, because it is recommended.
But the fighting that is there is way better than Invincible Dragon, one of the last ones.
Oh boy. That's the thing.
This one also has a big budget, so everything looks clean. The cinematography, the camera work,
all the sets and everything,
everything's great.
Yeah, you could tell they built all the sets for this and everything too. They utilize them, so yeah, the budget definitely goes a lot farther in this movie than all the previous ones we reviewed.
My first similar movie was Legend of the Fist with Donnie Yen. I think it's called Legend of Fist: Return of Chen Zhen. Basically, Donnie Yen plays the character that Jet Li played in Fist of Legend, and he ends up. Where did he end up? In Japan or China? He ends up in China, and the Japanese have a list of people that they want to kill. That's what it is, right?
Because they're trying to, like, not even, they're trying to invade, but it's right before they invade, or they're trying to, like, influence the culture
in China. And there's,
like, a
list of people that want to rise up against them.
Yeah, exactly. They're like dissidents of them, basically. They're trying to, like, they're talking bad about Japanese people. Yes. They're trying to, like, you know, like, they're just outspoken people, basically, in China, of Japan. They're trying to censor them and kill them.
And Donnie Yen is trying to get this list before the Japanese get it.
Yeah, and protect the people who are on the list as well.
Yes, and protect the people. And he wears a black mask the whole movie. Until the end when he fights karate schools and all that stuff.
Yes.
But it's very similar to this movie. It has a few, like, 10-on-1, 30-on-1 kind of fights and stuff. But it's actually done way better, and the editing is, like,
it's really way better. It's way better than this movie, definitely. Yeah, my first similar movie is Master Z, The Ip Man Legacy. It's basically a spin-off of the Ip Man series with Donnie Yen. It has the villain from, I think, Ip Man 3, right? It's the villain.
Yes, Max Zane.
Who he defeats.
And Batista.
So after Ip Man 3, after he's defeated, he kind of goes off and kind of like starts a new life in another town. But of course, he gets involved with the local gangster there, which is Batista, and makes his team up with a few other guys there to kind of take him down. The fighting in this movie is really good. The weapons fights are really good. Good axe fights in that movie as well. Michelle Yao's in it. It's all around really awesome, martial arts flick. But it feels like a good spin-off of the Ip Man series. Like, it's worthy of the Ip Man title. And
it's actually better than Ip Man 3.
Better than Ip Man 3. Yes, it is.
Which is a spin-off of,
again, if you watch Ip Man films, definitely have to check out Master Z, the Ip Man Legacy.
Yeah, but one of the things I like about the Master Z is it fits right in with the other. Tony Jaa's in it too.
Yeah, Tony Jaa's in it.
It fits right in with the series. Like, it doesn't feel like some spin-off that's why is this made?
Exactly. No, it looks the same. It looks just like an Ip Man film. Like, look, you can literally go from watching like Ip Man 3 to just going right into Master Z. It's the same movie, man. It's a continuation. But you say it's rare that happens. Usually the movie looks totally different and feels different. Like, this movie feels just like an Ip Man film.
It's like Marvel. Like, you know, everything's filmed and edited the same. This did that same thing with the Ip Man films, where it's like, fits right in.
And it didn't rely on Ip Man to, like, try to bring him back.
He's not even in it.
That's what I'm saying. It didn't try to rely on that character at all. Like, it totally did its own thing. And it succeeded at it, too. You know, it totally feels like a legit spinoff.
My second movie is Green Hornet with Seth Rogen and... what's that guy? I forgot his name.
Yeah, I forgot his name, too, because...
He's the bad guy in Inglourious Bastards. One of them.
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz. He's so funny in this movie, how he tries to be intimidating. Everyone keeps laughing at him.
Yeah. He's funny in general, Christoph Waltz.
He is.
Comedic timing, but yeah.
Green Hornet's actually one of... Before the Marvel Cinematic Universe started, a lot of people were grabbing up like independent comics to try to make movies. And when they grabbed Green Hornet, everyone's like, Seth Rogen, this is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
It's actually really good. Yeah, it's one of the better independent... comic book movies I've seen.
Yeah, people just got pissed because he's not what you'd picture as a Green Hornet.
Yes.
That's the thing.
But he does the role. He's good in the movie, and the movie itself's like a good movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. The movie's not bad. I think people were expecting to be more than what it was.
It's more like expectations.
Yeah. It's expectations.
Not as bad as The Spirit.
No,
type of movie.
But people, exactly. I think that's what happened. I think people were kind of thinking that that's what it was, and they were comparing it to that a lot also when it came out. But it was like, I think people just didn't really want to give it, like, give it credit for credit is due. It could say it's a lesser known comic book series. It was a show in what, like the 70s or whatever.
Wait, what's his name?
Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was Kato.
Yeah, Bruce Lee was Kato. Yeah.
It was like, you know, it is what it is. You know, it wasn't as bad as like I said, other
the action scenes are really good though.
Yes, exactly.
The car chase is insane.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I say is that one of the issues with Green Hornet when it came out was a lot of people didn't feel it was like pulpy enough. Like it didn't have that pulp to it.
Yeah,
the pulp,
yeah.
Like, you know, like Dick Tracy and like that noir,
yes,
look and feel to it. It was just like a comedy action flick.
And also, I think what hurt him, that what hurt Seth Rogen, he's come off all the like stoner movies.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so people just did not.
He's
like,
kind of a stoner
him
in this in the beginning too.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think that rubs people. Unless you're a fan of him, I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. You know, maybe that's what you nowadays, like, people see him more like as a more serious actor now. But like back then when the movie came out, yeah, people just were like
he just like knocked
guy
up or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was only one other like, main other of the movie where he wasn't a complete stoner. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, you know, it's cool. My last one is similar is Fearless with Jet Li, who he plays. I believe he's a real guy. Huao Yongjia. It's a Chinese martial artist who basically, during the same time of the Japanese invasion, where they were having all these like tournaments going on in China. Like he basically fights for like Japanese nationalism. He's basically, you know, he fights this like a. This like boxer from Britain, a wrestler, another Japanese guy, I believe, in it as well. But he's basically fighting for like the honor of like China in it. He's like a Chinese folk hero in it. It's really cool. He has some really great fight scenes. Also great weapons fight scenes in this movie as well. That's really cool to try and check out. But it just feels like, you can say, we talk about old school martial art films. This is like an old school martial art film right here. And it has Jet Li in it, so just can't go wrong with some old school Jet Li films.
And I think Wu Ping did the choreography.
Yes, Wu Ping did the choreography.
So, you know, like it's spot on.
Yes.
Amazing.
The wire work isn't too ridiculous. It's there, but it's not crazy. Like, again, it's Wu Ping, so
there'll always be some wire work in a Wu Ping.
Yes,
film.
Exactly. You can't do without it.
So that's our review for Ip Man Kung Fu Master. It comes with a light recommendation from us. Like, it has some like caveats to it. Like, you got to be an Ip Man series fan, or you got to be a real Kung Fu fan.
Like, again, you have to be someone who really wants to check out Kung Fu movies, because this could be a bit of a slog to get through if you're not.
If you're just looking for an action movie on a Sunday night or with your girlfriend, don't watch this.
Don't watch this.
All right, it's Mr. Action signing out.
And this is Frankie Cranks. Until next time, guys.